Good evening. Welcome to the Slayer Report. Today is Thursday, February 15th. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm speaking to you from Friesland in northern Netherlands. I'm here for 2 weeks. In fact, I'm driving down to Basel, Switzerland tomorrow to interview Thomas Meyer this weekend. And then we'll head back to Netherlands on Sunday. I'm having a very wonderful and productive time. It's profoundly safer here than any place I've ever lived in the United States. And it's such a remarkable feeling to be in a place, one that's so beautiful and also so safe, and the people very kind and generous. It's just shows you what life can be like. Our theme tonight is the Trump administration proposes a $4.4 trillion budget for fiscal 2019. Remember, we still don't even have a 2018 budget yet. And so Congress is really going to have quite a job, not only finishing the 2018, but getting the 2019 done right in the middle of a campaign season. What this means is we're going to have in 2019 almost a $1 trillion deficit. There's no doubt that what Trump is proposing with military budgets and with the entire budget is pounding the fixed income markets and sending interest rates higher. The non-defense spending is taking a very big cut, $57 billion proposed. Again, that's before it goes through Congress. That's in part to offset major increases in defense. We have almost a $700 billion defense spending. Again, the big portion of the budget is mandatory. That's the majority of the spending. And we're coming down to a place where you have a mandatory portion, you have interest on the federal debt, you have defense, and then you have domestic discretionary, and that's what's going to get cut. What the military wants is no more sequesters, no more shutdowns. It's a reasonable request. It makes operating, especially when the reserve currency depends on it, very difficult to do. At the same time, we're solving the problem of having stripped the line military for many years now by spending more money without the kind of reengineering of global scope and efficiency that you need. And so we have 70 years of corporate cost plus. The big reengineering problems, again, are not on the line military side as much as on the corporate side. And remember, so much of the stock market depends on that huge corporate cost plus infrastructure. Of course, the big mystery in the budget, which is not addressed, is where is the $21 trillion? DOD is asking $900 million to do audits. So can you imagine spending $1 billion? What's interesting is that in the reports on the $900 million, Secretary of Defense Mattis states that the problem is that they've never passed an audit. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that trillions are missing. So some would counter that those are only accounting entries. I don't think they are accounting entries. I think there are trillions missing. And my bet is the line military is going to use the hoopla to assert greater control of the covert and corporate cash flows and shift the power, the state of power, from the central bankers to Wall Street back towards the military, which frankly is relatively healthy. Wilkerson, who's been a big critic of big defense budgets, is going to join me in March to discuss the defense strategy and budget. I'm looking forward to that. Remember, this is the president's proposal. This is not what Congress has adopted. If you look across the all the domestic agencies, most are taking cuts, even big cuts. EPA cut by 33%, HUD discretionary cut by 17%, Interior cut by 17%. There's a great deal of programs across the government, the federal government, that we would be better off not having. The reality is state and local governments, a lot of this activity should be decentralized. The problem is they're going to decentralize the function, but not the money. The feds are going to keep collecting the taxes that they collect. We do see a couple of interesting things. One of the things you see in the budget is the pressure on pharmaceuticals. The federal government has allowed the pharmaceutical industry to reach sort of proportions of high prices and bad policies that has been extremely expensive for the cost of healthcare and the amount of money the government pays on healthcare. And it looks like we're finally turning the corner on at HHS on some of these policies. It'll be very interesting to see if the government finally gets on board with competitive pricing. If you look at what other countries pay for pharmaceuticals, it's a lot less than what we do. Homeland Security is one of the few domestic agencies that gets a big boost, and that's for 65 miles of wall in southern Texas, and then more border patrols. And the Coast Guard gets a heavy polar icebreaker. More for Antarctica? Big question. Anyway, but clearly the intention is to be tough on immigration. If you look at HUD, they're proposing to cancel the community block development grant. And that's a very long-standing program that gives a lot of money to state and local governments. So this is going to be a big change. Here's some of the final takeaways in all of this. Again, you're going to have to finalize 2018 final appropriations and then get a 2019 budget in place by October 1st when you've got elections in November. That's going to be very hard to do. The Senate Democrats have real leverage here. Appropriations requires 60 votes to overcome procedures, which means the Republicans can't just stuff this through. And immigration could stall things again coming into the election. So the other thing that's very interesting is because there are not a lot of other bills going on this year, don't be surprised to see a variety of members try and stuff their policy changes because they don't have an authorizing bill, stuff the changes into appropriation bills. So if you look at the process and procedures of getting both the 2018 and 2019 budget in place, it's going to be very difficult. And it's one of the things that's going to make the elections, the campaigns and elections this year very, very interesting. Now, here's what's interesting. If you step back and you look at the budget, what it's really saying, along with what the Trump administration has done with tax reform and healthcare, the administration has really started to change the economic model. Now, it's far from perfect if you look at everything Trump promised on the campaign during on the campaign trail. If you look at what many people said when they first hit the White House in the first month, it's clearly incremental change compared to what they talked about and what they promised. But it is a big, big turn if you look at what would have been happening if Clinton had won the election. There's still very insufficient transparency on money and operations, particularly, remember, this administration asked to be relieved of their requirements to report the black budget to House and Senate Select Committees during the stopgap funding. It's pretty frightening. One of the things I wonder is whether they put through a $21 trillion appropriation through that little loophole. Anyway, it's clear to me that the swamp is pushing back hard. You have the whole CIA, DOJ drug line, MS-13, plus the pedophilias. And that's a network, and I kind of call it the Bush-Clinton network, grossly oversimplified, that's a network through every city across the country. And what that means is you've got establishment are having their cash flows cut and are scared to death about pedophilia purges and actions across the country. That's a much bigger pushback, and it's a bipartisan pushback than people realize. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's where some of the impetus to go to war is coming from. A war with Russia or Korea saves a lot of people from a lot of embarrassment. Now, the question, of course, is will the global markets be able to digest rising interest rates and the debt funding? And that's creating more nervousness, especially interest rates hits real estate very, very hard. So expect the purges and the mini-unite thing, as I say, to continue. And it will make the campaigns very, very interesting and hard-fought. It's extremely important how state and local government respond to the federal discretionary cuts. At the same time, many of them are struggling with funding state and local pension funds and other challenges. I should note in the president's budget, he recommends an increased premium for the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, clearly anticipating more dumping of pension funds by corporations on the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Anyway, what sort of the thing you can do is you can pay a lot more attention to state and local elections this year. The more that federal discretionary expenditures get cut and these functions default to state and local government, the more important, the more powerful your state and local officials are going to be. And quality and integrity is going to count for a lot. Remember, power in the United States ultimately happens bottom up. And that's why, it's always important, but it's never, I think, been more important than it is this year, especially when you have a real effort to try and purge out a lot of the corruption. So this is your chance to really get behind people of integrity and start to make shifts that weren't possible 4 or 8 years ago. Now they are possible. Okay, money and markets, U.S. dollar now trading. Clearly, we've broken the 92 line. We've been trading, we're now trading at about 89, so we're down 3% for the year. Fixed income really getting hit hard. So we've given up most of the gains that we had last year. So it's down almost 7%. The IEF has given up, the intermediate treasury ETF has given up 3.4, or all its gains of last year. It's down 3.44% for the year. The bond aggregate down 2.3%, and that's giving up 2/3 of its gains last year. Junk is down 1.15%. It hasn't begun to give up what it gained last year, which was 6%, but it's still interesting that junk has turned negative. Equities, the S&P now up 2.31% for the year. Still, what correction we've gotten is not meaningful. It's sort of given up most of the melt-up, but we still aren't into what I would consider to be a meaningful correction. Home builders still down for the year at 3.41%. As I said, interest rates is tough on real estate. The REITs have gotten hit very hard. VGK, the European ETF, up 1.57%. Developed markets minus North America, up a little bit more than 0.5%. Up 1.12%. Germany, up a little bit more than 0.5%. China, the all-time best performer so far and had done great last year, is up 6.91%. For the large caps, small caps are 3.28%. And emerging markets up 5.48%. So the emerging markets are gaining on North America as they were last year, and they have a lot more to go. America's run so far ahead over the last 5 years. Commodities essentially flat. Gold is now up 3.83%. Silver down 0.5% for the year. Oil up 3.52%. Still looking strong. Looks like oil is going to have a good year this year. As I said, the U.S. deficit and the aggressive increase in military expenditures is really hitting the fixed income market hard. It continues to me to be a major mystery and part of the invisible governance system. Who's buying the global debt? If you look at the amount of debt that sovereign governments have issued since 2009. It's quite extraordinary, and it's quite extraordinary how much they've issued relative to how much the debt, the equity markets are going up, because clearly it's government purchases and government investments that are driving the stock market higher. I struggled when I did the wrap up in 2015 called Planet Debt. I really struggled to get numbers on who held the debt. It's pretty easy to get good numbers on who's issuing the debt, but in terms of who's holding it, it's almost as like there's a giant missing mass in the universe. And I revisited the same questions in the process of writing the annual wrap up on pension funds. And again, very frustrating. So who could it be? It could be central banks that are buying all this sovereign debt. It could be the dark pools. You know, my question is it off planet? This is a major concern to the global financial markets, because if you look at how much the U.S. military and this administration is planning on raising and the deficits they're looking to run, the big deficit is in the first year in 2019, and then they project deficits getting smaller. The question is, that depends on a 3% growth assumption, which I think if you're repatriating as much money as they are in operations, you can make that, but you need a lot of things to go well. So big question is, who's going to finance that? Are central banks just going to print the paper? Are we going to force everybody around the world with our military to keep buying the paper, or is there money in the dark pools? Where is the $21 trillion? So there's a incongruity in the global financial balance sheet with a big question mark on it. It doesn't make sense. And of course, to make sense of it, you have to go into the areas of the world which are clearly non-transparent, which gets us back to the question of who's really running things. Okay, the question on many people's mind, of course, is, are we in a correction or are we headed into a bear market? I think the long-term bull market is the plan. It makes a lot more sense to mark up the equity than crash down or write down the debt. The problem is you've got tremendous geopolitical tensions going on. So the United States is pulling capital back into the United States thanks to the Russian sanctions. Russia is pulling capital back into Russia. You know, so globalization is essentially being recut. And then we see tremendous financial dependency on war and military, and then numerous questions about environmental problems. So all of these challenges make it much more difficult to put together the cooperation and leadership you need to support a long-term bull market. Now, my vote continues to be on a reasonable possibility of a 10 to 20% correction in the first quarter or first and second quarters, and I think the bull market reasserts, and I've given it an 80% chance that the bull market continues to sort of trot along. What I will say is, no matter which way it goes, whichever way it goes, America's going to be in better shape as a result of the return of operations capital and the turn that we're going through. Now, what you can see is the swamp is very dangerous. As I said, I think all across the country, you have the narcotics trafficking and the pedophilia networks. That's all, to me, the Bush-Clinton line, Department of Justice, CIA, Vatican, throw the Vatican in there. And as those cash flows are hurting and purge is happening, everybody gets scared. So I think there's tremendous pain in turning that network. You're talking about 70 years of bad habits and bad culture. And so trying to turn that is difficult. And it leads back to the question, what are all these indictments? I think they're indictments against the MS-13 gangs. But as I said, I think that cash flow is flowing into a lot of establishment pockets. We've seen for the last 2 weeks a run on General Kelly, first trying to successfully getting rid of his assistant, Rob Porter, and then trying to take a run at him. I don't think it will be successful, but it's amazing the hubris demonstrated. And interestingly enough, right in the middle of it, we see the Israeli police come out and recommend indictments of Netanyahu as the tensions in Syria were stoked. My two cents is it was a warning to Netanyahu to back down, The American generals have no intention of allowing Isaiah Khan to replace Kelly as the chief of staff, and they have no intention of having a war with Iran. And Netanyahu is the guy who will always get you killed. So I think somebody delivered a message and told him to get back in his box. We've had another school shooting, 17 dead, more screaming for gun control. We even have Mnuchin pressured and cracking in testimony talking about gun control. The problem is not guns. It's not guns. The problem is intelligence agencies and mercenary armies doing mind control, engineering operations like this. Please watch Richard Dolan on False Flags. But the last thing we need to do is pull in the guns. I know why the leadership wants to pull in the guns, because they're afraid if they don't pull in the guns, they're afraid to start cutting Social Security and pension funds and a whole lot of other things. And that's exactly why you don't want them bringing in the guns. Are they going to continue to do false flag operations? You bet. But the solution is not to cave into those false flag operations, because it's only going to be much more dangerous. I assure you it wasn't legal for that kid to have a gun. And if you pull in the guns, the only thing you're going to do is pull the guns in from the honest citizens. The criminals are going to have plenty of guns. Remember, it was the Department of Justice and those MS-13 gangs that were, it was the Department of Justice that was distributing guns to those gangs. So I assure you the gangs will have plenty of guns. Our hero this week is Tucker Carlson. He unleashed a tirade on Sean Parker, former president of Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook itself, on the fact that they're creating addictive technology that harms kids, makes them billionaires. And then Sean Parker announced he was going to be able to live to 160 thanks to creating addictive technology and harming kids, making him a billionaire. It's a wonderful presentation. Tucker Carlson did a great job. I've asked our team to put it up in a commentary, so it should be up tomorrow, Friday, both in News Trends and Stories, and it'll be one of the top videos for the wrap-up this quarter. My question is, where's the attorney general who's willing to prosecute Sean Parker and Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook? I think they should all be prosecuted. You're talking about something that's doing terrible harm to children. They know it. I cannot believe it's legal. And let's go to the movies. I recommended you watch a 6-minute introduction that Ulrich Groniger recorded on her new series for the Salary Report, Future Science, which will run quarterly. We're offering it in video and audio and transcript. I wanted to tell you the background of how I met Ulrich. I was at a conference in Switzerland in 2010, and we had many presentations, all for men. And then this very petite, blonde, very pretty blonde woman walked up to the podium, and she opened her mouth, and the entire room was simply galvanized, spellbound. This is a person who's has extraordinary capacity of both reason and intellect, and a very fierce and powerful character. I've been going to Europe for 3 or 4 years now to listen to attend her workshops on the Gnostic text, the Pistosophia. And one of the things she does when she teaches the Pistosophia is she intersperses the commentary with her comments on physics and science, which she's very interested in. And so last year when I was in Bregenz, we always go now to the Bregenz Festival near her home in Lake Constance, I asked her if she would do a quarterly on future science. And I said to her, look, I simply want you to focus on the aspects of science that are of interest to you. And so she agreed to do it, and the first we're publishing tonight. I'm very excited about this, and I'll tell you why. I'm always trying to focus you on the deeper news, the news that is really driving events. And I will tell you, many of the geopolitical and economic and financial change that we talk about or we've seen in the last 20 years has been driven by scientific and technological advances. This is at the head of change and not at the tail. When you talk geopolitics, you're at the tail of change, but here you're at the head. And this week she talks about muons and neutrinos. Neutrinos are the lightest particle going into the subatomic world of physics. So it's an elementary particle and it's the lightest one. And if you look at the advances that have been happening in neutrino science, it's quite remarkable. We're talking about technology that can communicate across the entire solar system in mere minutes, and can map the inside of Fukushima or the inside of a pyramid. So we can map all matter, we can see into all matter, and we can communicate across the galaxy at lightning speeds. So the implications of what she's talking about in this presentation are quite dramatic. And it's very exciting to me because it's moving you way up into the head of what's driving the change. I said it in my commentary, why should billionaires in the breakaway civilization have all the fun? Let's all be part of inventing our future. This is part of coming into our personal power. One of the things I've really appreciated about Dr. Farrell's website and books is that he really does a very fine job of covering developments in science and technology, and connecting the dots between what's happening in science and technology to what's happening spiritually, culturally, politically, and economically. But he is really the exception rather than the rule, not just in the major media, but in the independent media. And so I very much wanted to start to cover this in a way that was really had a very high quality intellectually, and so I was thrilled when Ulrich agreed that she would do it. And as you know, it's quite a big effort for me to travel to Europe to study with her, but it shows you how much I value her insights and how much I learn from her. So it really is a great privilege to be able to finally bring her work and make it accessible to our subscribers. So I'm thrilled about that. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. It's really what's happening in the world of a sort of physics and looking at subatomic particles is just absolutely mind-blowing. Okay, ask Catherine. We have no questions. We have one wonderful question. How would you compare USAspending.gov to Community Wizard? USAspending.gov was a website, I forget when the law was passed, I think it was 2006, 2007, that's supposed to make government contracts and grants accessible by place. As of a year ago, the amount of data loaded in was so thin that it, as a practical matter, it really didn't show you very much. I just checked it to respond to this question, and they've got a lot more loaded in, so it's more useful. I would say that in comparison to what Community Wizard showed you, it's significantly less useful in terms of how it's presented the sort of the understandability of the data. I just think it has a long, long way to go, but it is significantly better than where we were before it was started, and it has incredible potential. So what I would hope is the Trump administration puts significant resources behind the group of people who are doing it, and not only allows a lot more data to be included and make it a lot easier to understand that data, but also make it much more manipulable, so it literally can become actionable intelligence. There's just not enough in there to be what I would call actionable intelligence, but it can get there. So let's just hope the Trump administration keeps going. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, Bill Nyman joins Harry Blaser to discuss grass-fed beef and making sure that the meat you buy is of the kind of quality that you and your family deserve. Bill Nyman is a legend in the meat business. He started Nyman Ranch, among many other activities, and has really been the person that Harry says knows more about producing high-quality meat. So it's remarkable, given who he is and how busy he is, that Harry was able to get this interview. But this is the two top people in the world who are on your side, talking about how to make sure that the meat you eat is of the quality that you deserve. It's fascinating, a fascinating interview, and things about how to look at animal fats and protein as part of your diet in a way. It's the quality of information you can't get anywhere else. So it's quite an amazing interview. Anyway, Bill Nyman, the godfather of grass-fed. And then March 1st, we'll be publishing my interview with Thomas Mayer on the future of Europe. It's going to be a wide-ranging conversation. Our videographer, Robert Duper, and I are driving down to Basel to film Thomas on Saturday, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then March 8th, by the request of many wonderful Texas subscribers, Dr. Laura Presley is going to join us to discuss reforming our voting system. She has taken she ran for city council, was very disturbed by what she saw in the election systems, and is now is litigating up to the Texas Supreme Court. Very well-presented, rich website that where she's got all the legal filings and has a lot to say about that. So until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.